Ladies and gentlemen, I am back. This is Anthony, the host of the Orange and Blueprint podcast, and I am here with relatively breaking news. I was a little bit behind myself, but I can't wait to just get on the mic in here and kind of talk about it for a little bit. The New York Knicks, as you may have heard, finally, after this odyssey of a season, after this myriad of rumors and chicanery from the New York media, which they are prone to do, the New York Knicks apparently have hired a coach to replace the deposed Derek Fisher, and erase any rumors that Kurt Rambis is the shoe-in head coach replacement for these New York Knickerbockers. And I can't say that I'm tentatively very pleased with this hire. I don't have any strong opinions on Coach Horny, but you know, I talk to people, mainly my friend of a friend of a friend, now my own friend, Scott Gower, who is a diehard Phoenix Suns fan. Feels like Hornacek got a raw deal out in the Valley of the Sun, and hopefully that's the case as far as the New York Knicks are concerned. And I want him to come in and do what needs to be done to not only make the Knicks competitive and hopefully move towards that the playoffs that they missed out on this year, but also be a positive impact on, you know, specifically Kristaps Porzingis and Jerian Grant. I think those two, their style of play, their preferred style of play, can mesh well with what he does well, with what he was able to do with admittedly a different type of team in Phoenix. You know, I know they played with three guard sets a lot, a lot of young guards there, not a lot of talent necessarily on the wings with more traditional players. But I mean, they had, I believe it was Goran Dragic, Isaiah Thomas, you know, Brevin Knight was in there, you know, rest his soul. And so that the things that they had to do are going to be a little bit different considering the Knicks are a much bigger team. You know, Mike Woodson said the East is big, and the Knicks are kind of a bigger team, but they've got the unicorn and Kristaps who can kind of play inside, outside. I think they'll be good for him. And so hopefully he can kind of mesh the team better with what is available to him. I think he was able to do that by happenstance or maybe by force due to injuries out in Phoenix. And, you know, so hopefully he can come in and do a lot of good things for the team. I have a lot of faith in him based solely on the fact that Phil has faith in him. And that's what's going to really rule the day here. And speaking of the Zen Master, I mean, this is a kind of a shocker a little bit. I mean, only in the sense that if you listen to everyone who talks about the Knicks, you know, the talking heads, the bloggers, or whomever, especially if they're part of the New York media, they say that he was only going to hire someone that he's directly associated with and who's going to run the triangle offense, you know, the way that he prophesizes about, however you want to put it, so often that it's a part of his whole general outlook on life. And Coach Horny, and that's just what I'm going to refer to him as. It's not a new idea, but he's our coach, and it's Horny time in New York. And you know, he doesn't run a triangle offense. I think that he should be able to kind of adapt and bring in parts of the triangle because it is, I mean, it's worked. It has a lot of positive aspects to it that can be modified to the modern game. I mean, that's what people do pretty much all over the league. If you're watching it, you see it everywhere. There are different parts of it. It looks like you, every now and again, boom, you see it like, hey, that's a flash of the triangle. Oh, that's a flash of the triangle. Golden State does a lot of it. Actually, Golden State, San Antonio, they do a lot of that stuff too. There's some stuff I was talking with some of the rest of the team here at HHSR, and, you know, talking to the guys, and I was like, hey, is Ty Lue running in Cleveland? Coach Ty Lue, is he running the black plays or black sets, which is the Princeton offense? And it's a lot of the same kind of concepts as far as movement and cutting. Back in my own history. I worked for a basketball team a little bit in college at Bowling Green. And, you know, I was just like a team manager, a grunt, a nothing, a nobody. But they ran a version of the Princeton offense. And while it seems like something you would do with not a lot of talented players or upper echelon players, the concept of team basketball and system ball, which, you know, Phil Jackson is all about, are there. So the things that you see in the Princeton offense makes it similar to the triangle offense. So it appears that the successful teams in the league have all taken bits and pieces of this offense, adapted it to the modern game, adapted it to the fact that this is a very guard-dominant league, guard and wing league, as opposed to bigs. But I think that I do think that Jeff Hornacek can come in here and kind of take what Phil has. I mean, Phil still is one of the best minds in basketball, and he can come in there and kind of adapt some things. And this hire shows that Phil should be able to kind of be a little more hands-off to an extent. You know, you don't want to waste the knowledge, but you also don't want the knowledge to be choking out creativity. So I think that this is going to be a pretty good hire. It shows a lot of maturity, for lack of a better term, on Phil's part. But it also shows that the New York media doesn't know what they're talking about. And that's kind of a refreshing thing for anyone who's ever cared about the New York Knicks as much as I do. And how much the New York media kind of stirs the pot incessantly. It's like on blender set 9 constantly with New York Knicks. And Phil's come in and he's not having that. He has done a lot of good stuff here. Not all great, but I feel like this is another step in the positive direction. This guy could do a lot for our young players as well as the players that we have now who are a little more established. And I'm pretty excited about this, pretty pleased. And I'm hoping that we should get some success out of this. Quite honestly, this needs to work. This kind of needs to be a home run for Phil Jackson, for the franchise in general. This needs to really work out because we don't want to have KP and Jarian playing for like four or five coaches in their first two or three seasons. That's not a good recipe for success. Not to mention, if we're going to continue, which I hope we do, we're going to continue to have the core be built around those two, Carmelo Anthony, Robin Lopez, and, you know, depending on how free agency goes, maybe Darren Williams and whomever else we can bring in. We want that stability. We want that positive relationship between the star players and the coach, the GM or president, and then obviously ownership. And, you know, I've talked about it many a time. That synergy is important, and also that synergy is important. Consistency is important, especially when you have the kind of young talent still in development that we have. And so hopefully Coach Horny can really do what he needs to do and continue to build this foundation that we're having going in New York. So needless to say, I'm tentatively optimistic about this hire, and I'm hoping that everything works out well, and this is another step in a positive direction. A couple of things I wanted to kind of bring up. I was hoping that this hire would actually come sooner so that I could bring up these couple of things just to recap the season a little bit. I know it's a little bit late, but, you know, hey, it's all good when you're having fun. I got together a couple of little award kind of things just to recap the season as far as New York Knicks are concerned. So now that we're taking a break from this playoff ball, I can talk about these guys for a moment. And but the what I call the Mark Jackson Knicks Rookie of the Year Award, and we don't even have rookies every year, but this is something that is something I'm going to probably do every year. And, you know, I appreciate you listening to this first iteration of these historically amazing awards that, you know, this is the first edition. Each edition will be better. But, yeah, as far as the Rookie of the Year of the Knicks, I think that's pretty clear. It would be Kristaps. I mean, the kid finished second to Karl-Anthony Towns in the Rookie of the Year Award. nothing to sneeze at. Karl Anthony Towns is great. Kristaps is great too. And that's just kind of what you can hope for. The best you can hope for is Rookie of the Year. But if he was the second place vote getter, that's great too. So I named the award after Mark Jackson, the last rookie of the Knicks to win Rookie of the Year. And so hats off to KP. Hopefully he continues to grow and become the player that we all hope he can be, and the player that he appears to be already. And I checked out some stuff online. He's already back in Latvia working out. I understand that the Knicks sent a trainer to Latvia. And, so the team is working him out, keeping him in shape, keeping him developed, letting him get stronger. And he's sitting out the Olympics for Latvia, which is a tough decision, I would imagine. I mean, he probably wasn't going to play a lot of games in the Olympics for Latvia, but just to kind of put your team in front of your country, that's a tough decision, I would imagine. And but good on him. Good on him, good for him. And we can't wait to get him back stateside, kind of see what he's doing, want to see how he plays next year. And so there, that's so on and so forth. The next award I kind of came up with is the John Starks Surprise Player of the Year Award. And this, again, I wanted to kind of put this on. I thought about saying this would be maybe Deron Williams, but it's got to go back to Kristaps. I mean, this guy, I will readily admit, I was one of the detractors and when we picked him at the draft. And it was just like, not this foreign guy from this country that I'm not sure exists in real life. But you know what? He came in from day one. He worked. He did all the right things in the media. He deferred to the old heads or whatever and took in all the knowledge and kind of made all the right kind of moves. And he's been a total home run. So this is a first winner of the Mark Jackson Knicks Rookie of the Year Award, first winner of the John Starks Surprise Player of the Year Award. And, hopefully, again, those two things are – basically the bottom line on why we would feel so confident in him, the surprise as well as the performance, consistency throughout the season with a lot of change, with a lot of dysfunction, at least from the outside looking into the franchise. So if he can master those, being able to perform like that in the environment that he's going to be in, hopefully for the next 20 years, he's good as gold. I mean, the city is his. So moving on to the Patrick Ewing, Knicks MVP. It's going to be not Kristaps Porzingis. He's not going for the sweep. This is none other than Carmelo Anthony. He's been, this season probably was his best season as a Knick. He led the team in scoring, rebounds, assists, and I believe also his usage and his PER, I'm not too sure about the last two, but I know that he led in points, assists, and rebounds. And for a guy who's been much maligned for not being a leader, not being anything but a kind of throwback volume scorer, a little bit of a mound content, or a guy who just doesn't really care about winning, it's good to see him adapt his game, play that mentor role, play that kind of more team ball that everyone knew he could play, but he still did it. And a lot of people can do things and they don't. Hopefully this kind of sets a trend for him as he goes into this more supportive role in his career. Like he's still the best player on the New York Knicks. I think you can win a championship with him, especially if you can play like this. But I think that this is his finest season as New York Knick. And with better talent around him, with better guard play specifically, he can kind of still be that elite kind of player. And I kind of think that we're going to see in this last, I hate to say last chapter, but because I still think he still has a lot of basketball in him. But in this last chapter, we're going to see that with the development of Jerian Grant and Kristaps Porzingis, and hopefully some more young talent, we can kind of see him be that kind of player to put the team in a position to contend for higher seeds than, well, obviously higher seeds than 12, but playoff seeds and make those runs that we hope to see when you have a guy like that who can also be the kind of guy who makes the teammates around him better. And, you know, for some people who hate Carmelo Anthony, it's too little too late for him. But you know what? Everything in its time, I guess. And now that the Knicks are kind of over this part of their era, we have a nice cap sheet going forward, draft picks coming in. We've got a good team going forward, a nice foundation. And I think that this is a lot of it has to do with Carmelo Anthony and his own personal development as a player, even at this stage. You know, he's going to be 31 this year, and he's still getting relatively better as a player. So, I mean, those things are going to be hugely important going forward. The next award I came up with is the Isaiah Thomas Get Out of Town Award, and that goes to Aaron Aflalo. If you are a Knicks fan, know anything about the Knicks, if you're getting an award named after Isaiah Thomas, and I'm not talking about the guy from Boston, then you know it's something you don't want. Isaiah Thomas ruined the Knicks in so many different ways that it makes people forget about how Scott Layden ruined the Knicks before that. So, I mean, both those guys can just never, ever touch the New York Knicks ever again. So the award for Isaiah Thomas Get Out of Town Award is going to Aaron Aflalo. He is a guy who is, I believe he has a player's option for this year. I hope he exercises his right to free himself of the New York Knicks and find greener pastures elsewhere. He came into the team and he said all the right things, looked the part, and it seemed like he'd be that consistent second scorer to Carmelo, and he was anything but. I mean, he had some great highs, but terrible lows. And for a veteran player, you expect more than that. For a guy who was getting opportunities, it's not like he couldn't get shots. He was taking the second most shots on the team for a long time. And he just couldn't hit them. But when he did hit them, he almost turned into like a very poor man's version of the good Kobe Bryant. And then other times he turned into a poor man's version of now Kobe Bryant. And it's like, why do we want to deal with this guy? And eventually he started to get mad because I think he stopped getting as many shots. And then also, after Fisher was fired, Kurt Rambis sent him to the bench to be the sixth man to kind of balance out the roster a little bit, so there's more of a scoring threat on the bench with the backup bigs and everything like that. But, you know, when he's got that pride or earned status, which is valid, it's kind of valid because he's a multi-year vet, but I mean, he didn't really kind of take well to that. There was a whole public kind of scuffle on, did Rambis talk to him about it? Rambis says he did. Aflalo says he didn't. They both can leave town for all I care. The whole thing was just bad. His body language was bad. There was a scene during an actual win where he sulked on the side because he didn't get the ball to put up the shot in the corner. And it's like, you know, you want to see your team, even if the season is close to loss, you know, seeing everyone kind of being at least generally happy about a win, but not being, oh, well, we didn't win and I didn't get the chance to lose the game with my shot. Someone else won the game with their shot. That's the kind of attitude you don't want to see on a team. And hopefully he's gone. He put out some statements saying that he thinks he's an elite two guard, and he's not. But he can think that. I think I would be an elite two guard if I got the opportunity, but everyone knows that's a lie. So, you know, whatever. Maybe he and I have that in common, but he can leave town and I cannot play for the New York Knicks too. So, yeah, Aaron Aflalo, leave town, and never come back for all I care. You know, but that's all that is. And the last award I have here is the Allen Houston Best New Player Award. Allen Houston was one of my favorite of all time free agent was he a free agent? I don't remember exactly, but one of my favorite new players on the New York Knicks when I was a kid coming up was Allen Houston. You know, he famously hit that hanging jumper against the Heat so that the Knicks could win. That was the first time an eighth seed beat the one seed, and that was one of the highlights of my sports life. And so, you know, shout out to him. And I also understand that he's actually one of the guys who is transitioning into a higher role with the New York Knicks. He came in as a kind of like, you know, lifetime award, but he stuck to whatever he needed to do, whoever he needed to talk to, and he got the GM job with the Westchester Knicks, a terrible name, but he got the GM job there with the D-League. He was doing the player interviews at the Combine this year, which is interesting, another like positive aspect of his career. The Knicks, side note, do not have any picks this year, thanks to the meddling of James Dolan and the possible idiocy of Glenn Grunwald for trading a first-round pick and other picks for someone named Andrea Bargnani, who is a terrible human being, as far as I'm going to say, and he's not a good basketball player. And we would have a pick this year. The pick would have gone, the draft lottery was yesterday. The pick would have been number 9. So we essentially missed out on a number 9 pick to have Andrea Bargnani for a couple of seasons, who Toronto wanted to get rid of. When you want to get rid of an overpriced player, you don't somehow just magically get a first round, unprotected first round pick. You're supposed to send out picks to get rid of him, but not when you're dealing with the New York Knicks pre-Phil Jackson. So our debt is paid. Our blood has been spilled as far as draft picks are concerned. We have all the draft picks going forward. Phil Jackson has proven himself able and willing to acquire draft picks each draft he's been a part of. So hopefully we can get some more young talent coming in. You know, young talent is always the lifeblood of a team still rebuilding. And so, yeah, Allen Houston. Sorry, I went on a tangent. That whole, God, that was such a bad trade. Such a bad trade. Set the team back so far. And anyways, Allen Houston, Best New Player Award, Robin Lopez. This guy came in a little bit. He had the reputation of being a workman type player. And he came in kind of like that, but played a little bit better than I expected. I think anyone really, you expected a lot of solid boxing out, good offensive rebounding. That's pretty much it. But he came in. Once he got comfortable, he showed a little bit of post-game with his weird semi-sky hook. But I don't know. It's just weird. And I understand that he shoots it weird because him and his brother played, and he had to do something where he hooked the ball from basically his calf muscle all the way up so that his brother couldn't block it. And it's ugly, but it goes in on a nice clip. And he's a guy who makes his teammates better by doing all that boxing out. And I hope that he can kind of continue to play with New York Knicks. He's got a nice contract, and he's a good player. You know, there is a debate sometimes that pops up, who would you rather have, Robin Lopez on his contract or a max deal for Dwight Howard? And it feels like it shouldn't be a tough debate and go with Howard. But Howard, I don't feel like he's built for this market. I don't feel like he's built for the kind of team that we want to be. And I think Robin Lopez fits better next to Kristaps Porzingis. I think he has the better temperament. He's weird, and I think that plays well. Dwight Howard seems fake, and that's not going to play well in New York. So, you know, it's an interesting debate to have. One that I'm still surprised that is the case now. But so yeah, that's the last award, the Allen Houston Best New Player Award. And as you can see, I'm a fan of the New York Knicks of the 1990s. And so that's what I'm hoping, that these players kind of help us get back to that kind of era of ball. The not quite the golden age, but maybe the silver age of New York Knicks basketball. And so yeah, that's kind of the awards, a good recap on the season. And hopefully we continue to just have positive notes going forward. I love seeing things that make Phil Jackson clearly state, but kind of a middle finger to the New York media. They were saying all these things about who he's going to pick and why he's this and why he's that. He's not doing anything because he's in somewhere in Minnesota on a bicycle or whatever. Well, no, he was in L.A. Interviewing Jeff Hornacek, and that turned out to be the coach. But he was also interviewing David Blatt, Frank Vogel. I think there was one more person. But either way, he's out there doing his job. And we live in a world that has cell phones and internet. And we have a whole seemingly, scarily competent front office. We don't have any, this is the scariest part. We don't have any bad deals. People are going to talk about Carmelo Anthony's deal. He's got essentially a 3-year deal left, or 2-year and a player option, and he's going to get like $26 million a year. I mean, that's a lot, but there's no one else close to him on the deals. Jose Calderon, he's not going to be the starter next year, so that's going to be an improvement. You stick him on the bench, maybe he can come in and be more of a spot shooter like Jason Kidd did and get more development out of our young players. I think that the New York Knicks might have a competently run franchise, and that's terrifying. I have no idea what they're going to do, but I am starting to gain confidence, and I think that I know that the New York media is being kept in the dark, and you can tell they don't like it. So it's strange days under these orange and blue skies, but I'm going to wrap it up here. I appreciate the listening, and let me know what you think, and, you know, now go back to watching playoff teams play basketball. Peace.